When I was serving People's Church in Kalamazoo, Michigan as an intern minister, the annual fall gathering of area ministers happened in Pokagon State Park in northern Indiana. This is a big and beautiful park with a small lake and a beach, a big system of wetlands and streams, and miles of hiking trails through the woods. Our schedule always included a few hours of open time during the day, and I took that time to explore the trails, to walk the rolling hills through the trees whose leaves were turning bright red and yellow, to sit by a stream and listening to the bubbling and the gurgling of the water, to wander slowly along the boardwalk through the wide variety of wetland communities, smelling the wetness, hearing the birds, catching the occasional glimpse of a turtle. It was a place where it was very easy for me to come back to the lessons of ecology and field biology that I had learned, to remember the names of the trees and the small plants and how they interact with their environment and their relations to form the great web of life, to notice the birds eating what was left of the fruits on those plants to gather strength for their migration south while providing the seeds a means to be softened and opened in those digestive tracts, so that when they were pushed out the other end, they were ready to sleep through the cold season and then take in the water they'd need to sprout the following spring. To recall what I had learned about those leaves turning, that what's happening inside them is the death of the chlorophyll, the green stuff that drives the process of photosynthesis, of food making, from sunlight, so that the yellow and the red hues that have always been there are unmasked as the green slowly fades, before the cells at the base of each leaf harden and die and the leaf falls to the ground to nourish next year's plants. To remember that in the midst of the beauty of the land in autumn, things are slowing down to begin the winter's rest, or dying to give a chance at life for what might come next. For me, this remembering the mechanics and the miracles of the natural world enhances the beauty I see before me, gives me access to a depth of wonder that the beauty is just the prelude for. Seeing the colors and the patterns of the creation is lovely in and of itself, but for me, knowing some of those intricacies of how they come to be is the thing that takes my breath away. I don't know everything about how this or any other system works, of course, just enough to be blown away by how intricately connected it all is. Puzzling over that mystery is the topic of another reflection that I'll share in a couple of weeks. So the second year that I got to go to this gathering, I had gotten to know the trail to the marsh in particular pretty well. It wound into the woods from the edge of a parking lot and was the beginning of many of the other trails in the place. And it was wide and level most of the way to the beginning of the boardwalk, maybe a quarter of a mile in. It was wooded all the way to the boardwalk. And then once we got to the end of the marsh, it was lined by shorter trees and shrubs. And then eventually beyond that edge, the boardwalk went through shorter plant communities and areas of open water. So it opened up. And a couple of hundred yards into the marsh, the boardwalk widened, and there were a couple of benches on its edges, kind of facing each other. So I was walking there with a colleague one day, and we sat on the benches, and we breathed. And we listened. And when we got up, I said out loud, "This would be a really cool place to see the stars." And so we did. We came back that night. We waited until full dark. We walked through the well-lit parking lot into the darkness of the woods. We had flashlights with us, but we decided that we knew the short path to the boardwalk well enough to try it out in the dark. So we turned off our lights, and we turned our backs to the glow of the parking lot behind us to let our eyes adjust. When we could see enough to distinguish between dark and darker, to let the open path show us where it is, we started to walk. We immediately learned that although we could make out where the trail is, we could not distinguish the roots and the stones that we had to walk over. Don't ask me how we discovered that. Being able to see those things during the day, of course, allowed us to walk quickly if we wanted to, but we learned right away in the dark we had to move much more slowly to avoid tripping. We had been talking lightheartedly in the parking lot, but we found ourselves quieting down as we had to concentrate more on being careful where we put our feet. And as we quieted and slowed, I could notice the feel of a slight breeze on my face. And I could hear the little night sounds, the rustling of the leaves around us, the occasional patter that could have been little feet or a little slither, the passing of an airplane very high in the sky, almost unheard, and those very, very quiet spaces in between all of those sounds. By the time we got to the edge of the boardwalk, we'd been in the dark long enough to sense the widening of the space around us with our eyes where it opened up, and the level solidness of the wood was a little bit of a relief to walk on. By then, we were out of the trees and we could see the sky, and it was easy to get to the benches and tell the difference between the wood planks and the open water. We each lay down on a bench. We stared up at the stars. Every once in a while, one of us would quietly voice a thought, but mostly we just lay in the dark, breathing the night air. I remember thinking that this was a way of being that was very different from the way I am in the daytime walks, because I don't know much about the night sky. I didn't know the names of the stars or the constellations or how far away they were, and I couldn't read which direction they were in. I didn't know if or how any of the systems around them might interact with each other or with us. I had a little bit of understanding of some of the processes that had formed them, but only enough to realize how little I knew. This was not like looking at the trees and the plants. I was in the dark. And yet, there was still awe and wonder at the immensity of it all. Every time I go out and look at the stars, there is that. And the relative tininess of me in that immensity. And I knew that there were other people who did know about the stars, how they came to be, and how they came to be where they are right now, and how they move, and how the universe is still expanding, and why stars have a lifespan, and that if I wanted to, I could remember what I was seeing and feeling here in the dark, and I could learn the names and the processes, and maybe I would be even more awestruck if I had that knowledge some other time I was looking at the night sky. This is what my mind does when it tries to quiet. But I have not done that. And I think I won't. And every time I look at the stars at night, it still takes my breath away. Victoria Safford, the senior minister at White Bear UU Church in Matomidi, Minnesota, preached these words to her congregation a couple of Decembers ago. She said, maybe there are limits. Maybe we don't need to touch everything, tamper with everything just because we can. Maybe we don't need to change everything, know everything, own and master every living and inanimate thing, split every single atom. Maybe sometimes it's best to let the mystery be. We're here to garner not only knowledge, but wisdom and reverence, our rightful place, which sometimes you can only see in the dark. We made our way back eventually, deciding to continue to walk in the dark, noticing how much darker it was in the woods than under the open sky where we had been. Picking our way again carefully along the roots and the stones along the trail. It was hard to walk back into the parking lot, as what had seemed like a glow when it was behind us when we were walking into the woods became a painfully glaring brightness, accosting our dark, adapted eyes. I perceive the holy in our relationships with each other and all that is around us, in the strands of the interconnected web of all existence. During times of light, I can see those relationships. In the daytime, I can see the trees and know that as they generate the energy that will make their food, they are releasing the oxygen I need to breathe. When my relationships with other humans are healthy and open, I can see how we nurture and support each other, and how I know that I can trust in the words and the emotions we exchange. When my life is going smoothly, I can see the possibilities as they offer themselves up. And when the news is good, I can see that hope is possible. In the dark, I have to rely more on feel, on faith, on trust. I have to feel my way along the path slowly and carefully. In the dark, I have to remind myself that the trees have made enough oxygen to support the planet's life, even when the light that they need is gone for a time. In the dark, I have to remind myself that there are humans I can trust, even when one has disappointed me or another, that there are still possibilities for wholeness even when my life is hard, and that hope is accessible even when the news is bad. There are also ways that the dark isn't something I have to push back against or remind myself about, isn't just something that I have to overcome in order to get back to the light. In the dark, the trees get to take in the carbon dioxide I've exhaled and make the food from it and the energy that they've produced during the day. In the dark, I get to sit with the grief of disappointment, to feel it and come toward understanding that the universe didn't drop me just because a human did. In the dark, I get to widen my search for possibility and wholeness. In the dark, I get to learn how to nurture hope and not just find it. I don't just have to rely on feel and on faith and on trust. I get to see what this is like. I get to learn that there are things I can't experience in the light. Real and important things that deepen my relationships with other people and all that is around us in ways that cannot happen during daylight or times of ease. I want to close with words written by the Reverend Jackie James, a retired religious educator who focused in her career on developing multicultural ministries and curricula. This piece is called Light and Dark, and it inspired Shelley Jackson Denham to write the hymn that we sang together just before the meditation time, Dark of Winter. Black mail, black list, black mark, black Monday, black mood, black hearted, black plague, black mess, black market. Good guys wear black, good guys wear white, bad guys wear black. We fear black cats and the dark continent, but it's okay to tell a white lie. Lily white hands are coveted. And it's great to be pure as the driven snow. Angels and brides wear white. Devil's food cake is chocolate. Angel's food cake is white. We shape language and are shaped by it. In our culture, white is esteemed. It is heavenly, sunlight, sun-like, clean, pure, immaculate, innocent, and beautiful. At the same time, dark is evil, wicked, gloomy, depressing, angry, sullen. Ascribing negative and positive values to black and white enhances the institutionalization of this culture's racism. She continues, let us acknowledge the negative connotations of whiteness. White things can be soft, vulnerable, pallid, ashen. Light can be blinding, bleaching, enervating. Conversely, we must acknowledge that darkness has a redemptive character, that in darkness there is power and beauty. The dark nurtured and protected us before our birth. Welcome darkness. Don't be afraid of it or deny it. Darkness brings relief from the blinding sun, from scorching heat, from exhausting labor. Night signals permission to rest, to be with our loved ones, to conceive new life, to search our hearts, to remember our dreams. The dark of winter is a hibernation. Seeds grow in the dark, fertile earth. The words black and dark don't need to be destroyed or ignored, only balanced and reclaimed in their wholeness. The words white and light don't need to be destroyed or ignored, only balanced and reclaimed in their wholeness. Imagine a world that had only light or only dark. We need both, dark and light, light and dark. Blessed be.